We're talking about investigating PPP loans on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Congress's major COVID relief program for small businesses last year was the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP loans. The Small Business Administration has released new details on the more than 11.8 million PPP loans, a nearly $800 billion COVID relief program. But investigative journalists earlier this year who crunched the numbers found racial disparities in who received the loans. Are you a business owner who applied for a PPP loan? Did you have difficulty getting it? Did you reapply? What did you learn through the process? 800-642-1234. Laura Morrell is a reporter at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Laura, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
Can you give us some nuts and bolts first on how the SBA, the U.S. Small Business Administration, set up the PPP loan program to work?
Sure. So the Federal Paycheck Protection Program, first of all, is one of the largest financial bailouts since the Great Depression. And it was signed into law on March 27th last year. And the way that it was set up under the CARES Act, Congress had ordered the SBA and the Treasury Department to issue guidance to lenders to make sure that the program would prioritize small businesses, especially businesses in underserved communities and in rural areas. But our analysis found widespread disparities in how the loans were distributed, even though this guidance was something that was written as part of a law of the CARES Act. And what we found is that our data team did an analysis of more than 5 million PPP loans that were issued last year. And we found that in the vast majority of metro areas with a population of 1 million or more, the rate of lending to majority white communities was far higher than the rates for any majority Latinx, Black, or Asian areas. And in a lot of places, these disparities were really extreme, including in Los Angeles, New York City, Dallas, Phoenix, and Las Vegas.
I wonder how you trace the dollars through the demographics, because I noticed that when the SBA charted out its demographics for this program, there was so much in the unknown, not stated, or unanswered categories. How could you decipher when gender, race, and ethnicity or veteran status wasn't really identified in the loan process?
That's a great question. Under the Trump administration, that administration failed to collect demographic information from PPP applicants, which made it extremely difficult to figure out exactly which businesses the loans went to and in which communities. And so what our data team did was that it looked at how loans were distributed at the census tract level across racial groups. And this took months. And it's something that we were able to do for every census tract in the U.S. And that way we were able to compare different census tracts and get a sense of the percentage rate of businesses that were distributed or approved within those communities. So that was how we were able to conduct this analysis, even though the Trump administration barely collected any data that would have supported any kind of analysis like this.
So you mean you're overlaying the census data to kind of get a benchmark for then with the data that you have from the SBA?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, another issue here is the banks. JP Morgan Chase and Bank of America alone distributed $21 billion through this loan program, more than 300,000 loans approved. What role did big banks have in the disparities you found?
Well, one thing that's really important to note is that lenders had to prepare for this avalanche of applications at the beginning of PPP when everyone was rushing to apply for relief without any written guidance from the SBA. The SBA was still issuing guidelines while lenders were already receiving applications. And so that rush widens the gap between who was approved and declined, because any sort of obstacle like missing paperwork or, you know, confusion with the online application portals risk leaving businesses last in line. And we also cited this congressional report that came out late last year, which sharply criticized the program's implementation, This congressional subcommittee found that Treasury officials told the American Bankers Association to tell its members, so predominantly big lenders, to direct PPP lending to existing customers. And that was a huge barrier to businesses who don't have a strong existing relationship with the bank. And unfortunately, those were often businesses in communities of color.
Was this money getting to the smallest of small businesses?
In the beginning, it was not. You know, we talked to sole proprietors, and these are the smallest of businesses, businesses that are essentially run by one person. And, you know, there was a lot of confusion around the messaging of the program, since the program itself was called the Paycheck Protection Program. A lot of these really small business owners thought that they assumed that they didn't qualify because they didn't have anyone on payroll. And it wasn't really until the second round, which was last summer, and then earlier this year during the third round, that, you know, that messaging was somewhat corrected. And sole proprietors were able to apply for that relief. We also talked to business owners who hesitated to take out a loan, even if these were forgivable loans, in the middle of all of this economic uncertainty. They just had no idea if they would be able to pay it back or if they were even going to stay open. And then there are other barriers too. You know, the lack of technology that a lot of small business owners face. Not everybody has scanners or computers, especially at home during lockdown. So it was hard for a lot of people to send documents to banks.
Yeah. With sole proprietors, studies show that 96% of Black-owned businesses are sole proprietors.
Yes, that's true. And we talked to a lot of Black business owners, including one business owner in Los Angeles, Annie Graham, whose experience just completely illustrates the disparities within this program. She first tried applying through Wells Fargo, which has been her bank for many years, and was really confused by their application process. So she was never able to submit an application. And then during the second round of PPP, she heard of this company called MBE Capital Partners that had gotten help from Magic Johnson to provide PPP loans to businesses and communities of color. So she applied through them, but this bank was asking her for these payroll documents that she wouldn't have because she's a sole proprietor. She doesn't have anyone on payroll. So they declined her application, and she wasn't able to get relief until this year, this third round, when she applied through a financial institution that was helping a lot of business owners of color get help. And she was finally approved a year after she had started applying for PPP for relief.
And Annie Graham's story, her situation, is not an isolated incident. You know, Annie was also talking about her fellow business owners in her community who were in the same boat, same situation.
Yeah, same situation. She walked with us along her street in the city of Inglewood near Los Angeles and pointed out all the businesses that, you know, she also had heard were struggling during this time to get relief. And we also talked to businesses in that area and in other communities near her and heard the same stories over and over again. You know, a lot of these businesses tried to apply with their own banks, with big lenders, but just didn't get the help that they needed. They either never heard back from the banks or they were just denied and never really got a clear explanation as to why.
Laura Morrell is with us, a reporter at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. She's giving us takeaways from their analysis on PPP loans, the federal government's program to help businesses keep their workforce employed during the COVID crisis. You can join in. Are you a business owner who applied for PPP loans? Did you have difficulties accessing the first round, second round? How could the Paycheck Protection Program have been improved? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org. Laura, did the sudden closure of the PPP loan program at the end of May, did that cause challenges for small businesses hoping to secure funding when they didn't get funding in the first round?
I heard anecdotally that a lot of businesses were able to get help through community development financial institutions. And these are institutions that primarily cater to lower income neighborhoods or communities of color. And they really rushed to push a lot of applications during this latest round. So I didn't hear too much about challenges in the last few weeks of the program.
What about the experts saying this is an example of modern day redlining of how it was like in housing segregation? Can you draw parallels there?
Yes, that's a great point. Congress back in the 1930s, they established the Federal Housing Administration, and the FHA was in charge of facilitating mortgage lending. But what ended up happening was that the agency was refusing to insure mortgages in predominantly Black neighborhoods, which resulted in the term that we know today called redlining. And redlining was never completely reversed. Congress passed the Community Reinvestment Act in 1977, but it didn't have strong enforcement mechanisms. And in fact, a few years ago, Reveal found that Black and Latinx households were still denied mortgages at far higher rates than their white counterparts. But despite the banking system's consistent failures in serving communities of color, Congress still designs PPP to run through commercial lenders. Mm-hmm. And so we spoke to one expert who told us, when you have a crisis like COVID and you say, okay, we're going to put together a recovery program, and then you run that recovery program through the same system that for generations has consistently shown that, there are racial disparities within it, you're going to see the same results. You're not going to see an equitable recovery.
Laura Morrell is a reporter with Reveal as we discuss PPP loans, the federal loan program that closed at the end of May. If you sought a PPP loan and were successful, are you trying to get PPP loan forgiveness? Where are you at with that? How could the program have been improved? What did you think of the big banks like JP Morgan Chase and Bank of America that doled out billions of dollars in this program? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Laura Morrell here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin small businesses received nearly $4.4 billion through the duration of the SBA's Paycheck Protection Program, PPP loans. More than 100,000 loans were approved in our state in all. That's from the most recent SBA report published in June on its PPP loan program that closed at the end of May. Did your business receive a loan? What was the process like? Are you trying to get forgiveness? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Laura Morrell is a reporter at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. She's with us for about 10 more minutes. Laura, in terms of the disparities that Reveal found, what have the banks said about these disparities?
So we were able to do an interview with one of the executives at Bank of America, which, as you know, is the largest PPP lender. Mm. And we were able to talk to them and ask them about these disparities that we found. And they told us that, it wasn't necessarily their fault that these disparities happened. They recognized that the Paycheck Protection Program was designed to primarily help businesses that have employees. And they said that the reason behind that was so that employers could help employees stay on payroll and make sure that they didn't end up in unemployment. So they blamed the design of the program. But when we talked to experts, equitable lending experts about this, they told us that while it's true that perhaps the program was initially unfavorable to sole proprietors, and small businesses, primarily in communities of color, it's also fair to say that there were problems in the way banks were implementing the program. And that goes back to what I said earlier about banks prioritizing clients that they had an existing relationship with. We also spoke to one small bank, MBE Capital Partners, who told us that they were just overwhelmed with the number of applications that they got and that they couldn't jump on the phone and walk every client through the process. And JP Morgan Chase actually acknowledged that the bank prioritized existing customers and told us that, you know, under the program rules, the most efficient way to get funds to as many struggling businesses as possible was to initially focus on existing clients that had a business deposit account with them.
So it was just like this triage process is, you know, a part of a system overload issue. You know, earlier this year, Laura, the Biden administration pledged to be better, to do more to reach Black and Latin-owned businesses, including setting aside for small lenders to access the PPP portal and seek out the smallest business owners. Has any of this come to fruition?
Yeah, we've heard anecdotally that businesses in communities of color did see improvements or, you know, did have better access to PPP with these changes that the Biden administration rolled out earlier this year. I will also note that the SBA decided not to comment on our analysis because they said that they don't comment on third-party analysis, but they did send us a list of all of the policies made in the last few, you know, earlier this year. And that included establishing a 14-day exclusive application period that prioritized businesses with fewer than 20 employees. And we know that by March 5th of this year, businesses in communities of color, those loan approvals actually increased by 20%, according to the SBA. We also learned that sole proprietors were able to apply with gross income instead of net. And that's a huge change because that meant that they would get larger loan amounts. We also learned that immigrant business owners who applied or who filed taxes with ITIN numbers could now apply for the program. During the Trump administration, they were completely excluded from qualifying for PPP. So those were some of the bigger changes that we heard of and that we heard through sources were making a difference in who was qualifying for PPP and getting help.
So those are significant changes. What have you learned on the forgiveness front? What is the process like to apply for loan forgiveness and who's getting it?
Yeah, that's an ongoing part of all of this that we're definitely following and will be following, you know, for the rest of this year as these forgiveness, as the forgiveness program rolls out. I know that, you know, without getting like too nitty gritty, forgiveness process is kind of complicated. Like there's several different criteria that business owners have to sort of check off on their list in order to qualify for forgiveness. One of those things earlier on, and I'm not sure if this was something that has changed recently under Biden, but you had to use a certain percentage of your loan for payroll.
60%.
Yes, 60%. And so in the beginning, that was unfavorable to sole proprietors who don't have payroll again. So who would have, you know, done better to, it would have been better for them to use that money, you know, for rent, for instance, or for utility bills, you know, things to keep their business running. But because of those requirements, they were probably less likely to qualify for forgiveness down the road. I do also know that the SBA has created a portal, a forgiveness portal, to make it easier and more accessible for anyone to apply for forgiveness. So that rollout is something that we'll be following.
Yeah, so that portal would mean that you would go directly through the SBA and not through your bank. Is that right?
That's right. Although I have seen a few news stories that say some banks do not want to use this portal and instead are asking their clients to go through their own portals instead. And I could see how perhaps that might cause some confusion down the line. But I think we'll have a better, clearer picture of, you know, the ramifications here in the next few months.
Laura Morrell is with us, reporter at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. She gives us takeaways and what she found investigating the PPP loan program in the pandemic. You can join in. Who do you think is responsible for the PPP program's racial disparities in lending? How could this program have been improved? And were you a PPP loan recipient? What was the process like? 800-642-1234. We heard from Chris in Columbus, called in, couldn't stay with us. And Chris says This conversation reminds them of problems with the federal government and student loan repayment. Laura, are the issues in PPP happening elsewhere in the federal government?
That's a great question. You know, I think, you know, this systemic disparities that we saw in the PPP program, you know, definitely play out in other parts of our government. I mean, we've seen it in the last couple of years in terms of law enforcement and issues raised in regards to how police departments work. So, yeah, I think for sure, you know, this issue of racial disparities is something that we'll continue to see, not just in PPP, but I'm sure in future programs as well.
And along the lines of Chris here, the SBA has other relief programs in its portfolio, the Targeted Economic Injury Disaster Loan Advance Program, the Restaurant Revitalization Fund. Have these programs been discriminatory?
That's another thing that I'm glad you brought it up, because the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, one thing that we heard a lot from business owners that did not get PPP was that they applied for the Economic Disaster Loan Program and they were approved. But the problem with that is that those loans are not forgivable. So these are business owners that are going to be paying off these loans. In some cases, these are six-figure loans. I know of one business owner, I think it was like $105,000, who will be paying off this money for years to come. And there's no opportunity whatsoever for forgiveness. So because they couldn't get PPP for whatever reason, they are now saddled with this debt for the foreseeable future. So that's another, you know, disparity that we heard of relatively frequently while we were reporting on this. In terms of the restaurant program, we haven't looked into that one too much yet, but it is something that's on our radar.
Laura, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Laura Morrell is a reporter at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. We have links to the investigation by Reveal at WPR.org/mornings.